Okay, the title of this session is How to Set Up the Personal Studies for New Christian Educational Program. And what I'd like to do in this session is explain how you take and get this whole thing going. It's not quite as simple as with lecture and discussion, where in that kind of a setting, basically all you do is you just get your teacher's materials and you get your student materials, you look at your lesson plans, you figure out what you're going to say, and you walk into class and you start teaching. This is a little more complicated, and we have a book called The Personal Studies for New Christian Setup Procedures, which explains a lot of the things that we're going to be discussing right now. But I wanted to go over this in this session and also explain some of the other issues that are not covered in this book. The first thing you need to do if you are interested in getting the Personal Studies for New Christians into your ministry, the first thing you must do is get your director fully in agreement with what you want to do. If you don't have your pastor or your director or whoever it is that's in charge, if you don't have their support behind the Personal Studies for New Christians, it probably isn't going to work very good. And the main reason why is that it does take the involvement of several people. It does involve a fair number of dollars, and it certainly is going to involve a significant amount of work by several people to get this going. This is quite different than the traditional approach to teaching using lecture and discussion. In the individualized approach to education, there is a lot of preparation that is required before you can actually start teaching the classes. Once everything is going, it really functions quite smoothly. But if you don't have everything set up, well, if you don't have anything set up, let's put it that way, it's very difficult to get it to fly. What I'd like to do is go through and present to you the ideal setup of here's how you want to get the personal studies going. And then when the panel comes, they're going to share in reality what actually happened when they got things going in their particular areas of ministry. As I mentioned, your first priority is to get your director behind you. If you have his support, let's say you don't have his support, what can you do? First thing I would suggest you do, if it's possible, visit another ministry that is already using the personal studies and just watch and see how they do it and talk to their staff. And I know that if the personal studies is functioning effectively in their ministry, they will give you a good report and they will provide you with convincing evidence that, in fact, your ministry also can benefit from the personal studies. Once you have the director behind you, you need to begin to search for more than one teacher. When we send out the training materials to a ministry, we send out enough materials for three teachers. And that's what we recommend that you start with as a minimum number. Now, let's say you're a very small ministry and you don't have that many people. That's all right. You don't have to have three teachers trained. But we highly recommend it. In fact, there are many teen challenge centers where everybody, from the program director on down, goes through the training course for the personal studies. That doesn't mean that all of them are in there every day for class, but they are trained, they know how it works, they share the burden, they see the value of the program, and that way, if there is a need for them to go in and be in the classroom, whether it's a vacation of the regular teacher or whatever, they have the training, they know how to go in and make the classes work. So I would recommend that you get at least a minimum of one other person, and preferably two more teachers or people that can help you with the teaching to go through the training course. And really your first priority should be to get your teachers to go through the teacher certification course. It's a correspondence course, as you well know. You don't have to go somewhere else to do it. In fact, what we recommend is that you schedule work time to go through this training course. If you wait for a free weekend, if you wait till things lighten up, it doesn't happen. You know, you'll be several years before you get it done. Schedule work time. Make yourself accountable to your director, where you give weekly progress reports of how much you have accomplished on this teacher certification course. We require that your teacher, that you have at least one person complete provisional certification before we will send any bulk quantities of the student materials. So we would like you to keep that in mind, that have that as your minimum goal, to get this provisional certification completed as quickly as possible. And by that time, you should have a basic understanding of the educational program. And as you complete your full certification, and we give you 3 months to complete that full certification, do it in less time if you can, so that your students can really receive the full benefit of your training. Now, let's talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of getting your classroom set up. Let's start with the ideal. The ideal is to have a classroom, and I'm going to put up a little chart here, a separate classroom where all you have in this room is personal studies for new Christians classes. The way you want to have this set up is a room where the student offices, and please do not call these stalls. We put horses in stalls. Student offices, student study areas, whatever you want to call them. But basically what these are is the student sits here at his desk or her desk, and they face this way. These dividers, you've been in libraries, you've seen study carrels, or if you visited another center, you've seen these study carrels where the divider comes out beyond the edge of the desk. You want it to come out beyond the edge of the desk, preferably at least 18 inches. In the setup procedures book, there are plans for you to make these, or there's drawings in here, dimensions and everything. In fact, there's also a drawing of this kind of a classroom. If you want to turn to it, it's on page 17 of your setup procedures book. But the students face the wall. You want to create an atmosphere of isolation. You want them to feel that they are alone. You don't want everybody talking to the next door neighbor. Now, if you're going to have the students going along the edge of the room, you do not want a room where you got one light bulb, 60-watt bulb, in the middle of the classroom. You need to have perimeter lighting. That means lighting going around the edge of the room. Fluorescent lighting is very helpful. There is also some indication that fluorescent lighting alone is not the ideal form of lighting for a classroom. If you have windows, great to get some extra light in, or even having a combination of the two kinds of lighting. But have good lighting. Let's talk about the floor. Put carpet on the floor. Some of you are great hardwood enthusiasts, and I love a beautiful hardwood floor. But carpet really helps to deaden the sound. And you want to have the room to be where if you're talking in a low tone of voice to someone, you can't hear it 20 feet away on the other side of the room. So get carpet, get it donated. Do something to get it in there, steal it or something. Put in some nice carpet, and particularly if you live south of the Canadian border, get an air conditioner in that room, if at all possible. Create an atmosphere where the students will enjoy coming to class. And if you have that kind of equipment, it can really enhance the learning atmosphere. Now, in the middle of the room, if you have a big enough room, have a separate table for grading their lessons and then have a separate table for testing. Now, some of you will be in a situation where you simply do not have that big of a room. That's understandable. But if you do have that opportunity, particularly if you're building a new building, make sure this room is big enough and adequate enough to handle the kinds of student capacities that you are looking at. Using. Now, you do not need a desk in the classroom for the teacher. That is not an essential tool or piece of furniture. It is helpful to have at least a small table or a small desk in there where they can have their papers and things. It is very important to have a small library. Now, by a library, basically all you need is a bookcase that's 3 feet wide and about 4 feet high, and you can fit several hundred dollars worth of books on there. And, of course, then you want to get to several hundred dollars to buy the right kind of books to put in that bookcase. And as far as the number of books, some centers have spent several thousand dollars and built quite a nice library. Obviously, you don't have to have that to begin with just to get things going. But there, and as you will see as you go through the remaining parts of the training materials and get into the student learning contracts, there are specific books that are very valuable resources to have. And so we want to fill our library with the kinds of books that are most helpful, not the kind of books that people give because they don't want them at home anymore. Okay, the classroom, lighting, bookcase, grading and testing tables. These student offices, it's nice if you have permanent ones in your classroom. Let's say that you want to get the personal studies going, and the only place you can do that is in the dining room, cafeteria. Open tables are not the ideal setting. There are several ways you can get around that, or that you can provide the room with temporary study carrels. In fact, there's a company. It's named Callaway House. You can get the address by writing to me, where you can order cardboard carrels that you can set right on top of the desktop. It takes about 30 seconds to put them up, 30 seconds to tear them down at the end of class. They store flat so that you can easily set these up on a temporary basis if you are using open tables. There's nothing like having the real thing, but sometimes the ideal is not always possible right at the very beginning. Okay, we've talked about that. We've talked about this. Okay, in the classroom, it's very helpful to have a file cabinet. And in that file cabinet, have your personal studies for new Christians lessons. That way, as you are working with the students and they finish one lesson and you're ready to have them start on another, you don't have to go into a different room or upstairs or down in the basement or across the street just to get another lesson. It's just a very convenient thing to have right there. And also, in the classroom, you need to have the very basic things like a stapler, magic markers, and the other materials for making a flag. We'll talk more about flags later. Now, another very helpful piece of equipment is to have a five-level stack tray. Now, I have the names that you want to put on those five stack trays. This is a tremendous little tool to use when you come to class at the beginning of the class. In the top tray, you have all of the lessons where students are ready to take a test. And that's one of the first things you want to have them do at the beginning of the class time is to take their tests. The second tray is labeled testing. If there is a student, you've already given a student his test, he's sitting over here at the testing table, you put his lesson in the testing file. Particularly, let's say you have seven students that need to take a test and you don't have all of them taking the test at the same time. So you know who is taking their test. Just put that in the testing. As soon as they finish their test, bring that test back over, clip it right on with the lesson, and stick it down in the tested file tray. Now, let's say it's the end, and it just stays there till the end of class. After class, you grade the test, and you're ready to give it back to the student tomorrow. So, you stick that in the conference folder. That means that it's something in there that you want to give back to the student, and you want to talk to the student about their success, their achievements on that test. And so, or it could be other papers, like, say, for example, your scripture memorization papers that they've handed in, and you want to talk to them about the work that they did on that. You could just put that in the conference. And then as you have time throughout the class period, you can pull the things out of the conference folder and talk to the students. And then after you've finished talking to them, and if it's something that needs to go back in their student file, you would just simply stick it down here in the file tray, and then at the end of the day, whatever down here is in file, of course, you just stick it away and it's done with it. So they have these five trays that can really help to keep you organized, especially if you have a classroom where you have a number of students, say more than five or six students. Okay, let's see what else we need to do to set up this classroom. Another thing that is involved in setting up your personal studies is scheduling your classes. Now, in some centers or some ministries, the schedule is sacred. And it takes an earthquake to get the schedule changed. In other places, they're changing the schedule every week anyhow, so to change it again for the personal studies is no big deal. Let's go to the ideal. The ideal, in Dave Batty's opinion, and I want to label it's an opinion, Ideally, you want to have the classes in the morning because people are fresh, they're alert, they're able to think a little better, the air is cooler. Now, some places, I know some states, for example, farther south, if they had classes in the morning and work in the afternoon, it is so oppressively hot in the afternoon that it's just not realistic. So what they will do is they will have work in the morning and then they'll have classes in the afternoon. If you do that, make sure you have an air conditioner so that they don't roast in the classroom. But in the morning, ideally 2 hours of personal studies class and 1 hour of group studies class. Now, what I recommend is that you try to have all 3 hours together, have them the same time every day. Don't have this switching around every day so that all 5 days of the week their students are trying to figure out what the schedule is. Now, let's say that you have a program where you have, say, more than 20 students, and you want to have personal studies classes and you want to have group studies classes. In my opinion, 20 students is way too many for a group class. So what I would recommend is to split this up into three groups. Have your students split up into three groups and have group A, 7 students in group A, 7 students in group B, and 7 students in group C. And so you've got this 3-hour time schedule. So group A would have personal studies, say, the first 2 sessions, and then they would have their group class the last hour. And then, say, group B has personal studies, group personal studies, and group C has group personal studies, personal studies. This way, 2/3 of your students are in your personal studies class time, and then you can really utilize one teacher, if you want to teach that group class 3 different times. And that way, also, you're still going to, if you have one person teaching group classes, if you have 20 students, you are definitely going to need more than one teacher in the personal studies class with those other 14 students. So, but that is one way in terms of scheduling it, where you've got a large student body. Now, some centers say, well, we don't have time for this all in the morning. And one of the ways that I have found to get extra time in the morning is to schedule lunch at either 12:30 instead of noon, at 12:30 or even 1 o'clock. In fact, there's a number of centers that have lunch that starts at 12:30. That gives you an extra half hour in the morning so that you're able to schedule more time for classes. Now, this is the ideal. Don't go, well, we just couldn't get 3 hours of class in the morning, so we're just not going to do any of it. No, go for what you can get. And after 6 months, come back and say, look, the students are really learning a lot, but we really need more time. Can we adjust the schedule just a half hour more and go for it until you finally work your way up to 2 hours for personal studies class and 1 hour for the group class? And there are other ways of working around the schedule. You really want to have one person to be in charge of the personal studies classes. That does not mean that they have to be there every single day, but they should be there as much as possible whenever the personal studies classes are in action. As far as the assistant teachers, they don't have to be the same person every day. You could have your other staff coming in 2 days a week or 3 days a week or maybe even just 1 day a week or every other week, whatever. That is not as critical. If you have the one who's really in charge of the personal studies, that way the other teachers can check with that person to see if there is a question about, you know, if you have one person in there, then you have continuity. And the assistant teachers, it doesn't matter if they are the same one every day because you can always check with the main teacher. Let me just mention very briefly about reproducing these materials. Some of you may want to reproduce some of these materials. The lessons themselves are copyrighted and are not available for reproducing. However, many of the single sheet forms, such as the scripture memorization class form, the worksheet, the test forms, the daily goal sheet, the congratulations tips, and as a whole, there's about 14 or 15 in different single sheet forms. Those you can get permission to reproduce and write in your setup procedures book on page 14. there is a form that you are to fill out and send back in to us so that we can have on file in our office. Okay, I believe that takes care of that. I'm going to get the panel involved in our discussion here very shortly. Let me just page through this real quickly. I think that pretty well covers it. What I'd like for our panel to do is to share how they either started from scratch and got their center going and some of the battles that they faced. And the other thing that I'd like them to share, maybe they came into a center and they had to do some major reshuffling of organizing it and so forth, or keeping it going. So I'm going to turn to our panel and ask them to share their experiences in this regard.
I guess I'll start. I started in my center. There was, when I got to my center, there was not only no PACE, there was no lecture class. Nothing was really happening at all. And so the first thing I did was I just tried to get the lecture classes going, get that established, and feel at ease with that myself. Then after that, I got certified using Dave's material and started out with just first in the dining room and got those carols, the cardboard carols, had those set up in the dining room, had to do some adjusting with the schedule and with the director. We finally got that worked out where we had time allotted for PACE, and we had the dining room and the carols, take-up carols. And then I worked on, you know, just trying to convince people the need to have more than just the dining room cardboard carols. And finally that got through, that that would be okay, but I would have to come up with the money somehow. And but the Lord provided a way for that through a grant that I received through IBM. And there's always availability of money if you look into it good enough. So I went to IBM, made a proposal, submitted it, and they provided us with the money, and then I had the carols made according to those specifications and with Dave's help up here at the farm and with the grant money. And then finally the carols were brought down. The room left a lot finally, and then through some negotiation with a new director that came, we decided to try and go for one of the big bedrooms, and we moved the students out of this room and put them all in another room, and we started to use that room. And it was not in the best shape. The lighting wasn't very good, and some people came down from a church that I'd contacted and put in a drop ceiling and some fluorescent lighting, which helped a lot. And then finally, the Lord provided a fire, which destroyed most of the center, to rebuild that room and have it with nice carpeting, a new ceiling, a new lighting. And so that took place. And then right now I'm working on, we had the money allocated, but just a lot of things have happened where I haven't been around in the last year to get some final wiring done on the carrel so that we can have a tape recorder at each desk, which I applied for another grant the next year, and IBM provided all the money to get tape recorders for each desk and some other equipment, a VCR and some other things, and a computer. So, and this is all, it sounds real fast in 30 seconds or a minute telling you, but it's been 4 years, and the goals of, you know, those are my goals was to have a fully equipped room, and it's taken a while, a lot longer than I ever envisioned, but it is coming about. So I think for you, just realize it might take you time, and don't get too frustrated if you're starting from scratch, but just try to make little improvements, little bit by little bit. Also in the area of a library, I've just tried to build up like a few books at a time. When I first got there, there were no books. And now we probably have a library of about 200 books. But it was just little by little by little accumulating things. And so it's not impossible, and there's a lot of hurdles, but just hang in there and try to make your goals small and accomplishable in so much time.
I can share a little bit about what we've done in Chattanooga is to, in the year and a half that I've been there, the first thing that I think was very important was communication and communicating with the director and more or less winning his confidence that what we needed and proposing and writing down what we needed And I think the idea was brought up earlier. Make a request for whatever you want. And then whatever you get is a good starting point. And I think as John was saying, the cardboard study carrels are, if that's all you can start with, that's a big plus. We started with that, put them on tables. We just built some. I got some cardboard from a furniture company and cut the cardboard. And in fact, I made those over a year ago, and we're still using the same ones. So, but we need to replace them. I would agree that the atmosphere of the classroom needs to be conducive to learning. The lighting, the air conditioning. Being in the South, we've we have our classes in the afternoon on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays because of the work being too hot to work outside in the afternoon. And we have to make sure that the air conditioner is on and a fan blowing and keeping the air circulating. So those are a few things that are happening with us.
Well, when I came into the center, I didn't have much trouble convincing the director because the director was already sold on the personal studies. In fact, it was our PACE room was just brand new. We had brand new carrels. We had 16. We had tape recorders attached to the desks, so they couldn't be moved, and they were only to be used for the counseling or the teaching tapes, and that was perfect. You know, the lighting was good. We had both fluorescent lighting and windows. The classroom was comfortable with an air conditioner and, of course, the heat. In the winter, it's the warmest room of the house. And the carpet really made a difference because it's more comfortable. It feels more at home, you know, and I really think the girls can relax in there. The thing that we were lacking was materials. And fortunately, the director, you know, really put that as a top priority in getting the needed materials. And when I went there, the girls were doing most of the lessons in the national curriculum, and they were doing a few workbooks, but really they didn't have direction. And, you know, they just did like one lesson right after another all through the their stay there. And so we got started on, I would counsel each student once a month and evaluate the goals they set and then set new goals for the next month. And those were the contracts. And that gave the students direction. They were going somewhere. And that was probably the biggest thing, you know, was the library and the contracts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My situation was much the same as Christy's. Our classroom was all set up when I came to the center, and the reason I was hired is that the former academic dean had left, and our director that hired me was a certified teacher. So he was the one that trained me first off just to get me in there to help out because he wasn't able to be in there all the time. But he was totally sold on the personal studies, and our classroom was all set up, carpeted, and the study carrels were in place and everything. I guess the one thing that I would like to stress along with Christy is the library and the materials. I think that's one thing that I really appreciate. We just have a small bookshelf, but the books that we have on the shelf are things that we can use, and we use quite often with our students in writing the upper-level contracts. And we don't allow any of our students to take books off of this library except for dictionaries. That's the only thing that they're allowed to touch. Otherwise, everything else has to be assigned. We do have a separate library in another part of our center for students to choose books from to read at their leisure. But as far as the books that we use in our classroom, that is strictly on assignment basis from the teacher or on a learning contract. I find that having everything right there is very helpful, right in our learning center. Along with we also have a file cabinet, and we have all of our materials right there for personal studies, and everything is just within a few short steps. If a student needs another lesson, you're just two steps away from the file cabinet, and you have everything right there. And it makes it very handy also when you're ordering new materials. You can just go right down the line, and we have all of our 100 series lessons and one file drawer, and 200 and 300 series lessons in another file drawer. And it makes it very easy to check to see what your inventory is.
I have something to say about the library, too, is that I found it really helpful to get books and workbooks for the different educational levels. And also for the different age groups. Like, there are some geared just towards teens and others that are for adults. And that really helped me in, you know, doing the contracts and having that variety. And then another thing was, in order to keep track of the books, because I found, you know, some would come up missing, is to put library cards in them. Just cut an envelope in half, stick it in the back of the book, and then just make a library card. And that those library cards stayed on my desk, and I made it clear to all the students that they were not to take out any of those books without taking out a library card. And I would always refer to those library cards, you know, to make sure where the books were. And then another thing would be to cover the paperback books with clear contact paper. That really prolonged the life of the book.
Another thing, too, in starting a personal education program in your center, I think, is you may not have everything to begin with, and I think you need to start with what you have. And gradually it'll grow, like John, you were saying, it's taking you 4 years, and it's maybe getting to where you want it now. And I think that I say that to say that as a teacher, we need to not be discouraged because we don't have the ideal setting, but to make do with what we do have and gradually work until we have the library that we want, or the classroom setting, or the study carrels that we want, or the carpet, or whatever. To say that we can't have it until we have everything, I think, is doing an injustice to the students.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that we as teachers be committed to the long term, because these things aren't going to happen overnight. Not every center is going to have a full-blown educational room, and not every center is going to be willing to shell out money, as Dan just said, to get one real fast. And we have to be committed to have long-term goals, and not just, you know, if we're not going to get our way and get it faster, well, then we're going to leave, go to some other center that has it. And if we do that, then that center will never progress. We've got to be willing to be committed to do as much as we can to bring them down a few more points along the scale to becoming what would be best. Then maybe the Lord will move us on, but at least having a commitment to say, okay, whatever, however long it takes, or whatever, I'm committed at least this long to help bring those goals to pass.
Okay. I think one of the issues that is very important to understand is that there is an ideal setup to have. And if you have a clear understanding of what is the ideal setting, and you have that as your goal, and then begin with what you've got, and work towards that goal, I think you'll find that you can really have a positive impact on your students in that setting. You don't have to have the perfect setup to be able to use the personal studies. Any more than you don't have to have silverware and glasses and china and a table and chair to eat a meal. It just makes it a whole lot more enjoyable and a whole lot more comfortable. And it's the same with the personal studies. These little things really do all together make for a more powerful impact, a better learning center for these students. Are there any other comments you wanted to make before we... Okay, we'll bring to the end of this session how to set up your personal studies for educational program.
All right.